Weekly Krishna Consciousness Radio Show. Wishing you a very happy and prosperous day. We invite you all to visit the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Revived Highway, also known as Highway 28. The prayers there in the temple starts every morning from 4:30 with Mangal Aarti. Then there is Lord's Singar Aarti at 7 o'clock and the Darshan is closed from 1 to 4 p.m. after the midday Bhoga Aarti. The Darshan then reopens at 4 p.m. followed by Sandhya Aarti at 7 and the temple closes for the day with the evening Aarti at 9 p.m. Every Sunday, there is a special public program called Sunday Love Feast, which starts with Kirt at 12 o'clock. The midday Aarti of their lordships is held at 12:30 and from 1 o'clock there is a discourse based on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, after which we practice Japa meditation for a while, followed by Guru Puja of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the program ends with a love feast at 2:30. All of you, along with you, family and friends, please come along and visit their lordship Sri Radha Giridhari, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and Gauri Nitai and get their blessings by listening to their holy teachings and honoring Mahaprasad, and get yourself and your friends blessed in the intricate tapestry of their existence. The inhabitants of Lanka had woven a web of forgetfulness, where the threads of gratitude and appreciation had frayed and unraveled. They had become blind to the acts of kindness and favors bestowed upon them, their minds clouded by an insatiable thirst for personal gain. Once Ravana, the powerful ruler of Lanka, embarked on an arduous penance to worship the mighty deity Lord Shiva. Impressed by Ravana's dedication, Lord Shiva appeared before him and granted him the opportunity to ask for a boon. Ravana, known for his audacity, boldly requested two boons from the deity. Lord Shiva, intrigued, agreed to hear his demands. The first boon Ravana asked for was the sacred Atmalinga, a symbol of Lord Shiva's divine presence. Without hesitation, Lord Shiva materialized the Atmalinga and presented it to Ravana, who eagerly accepted it. In the midst of their conversation, Lord Shiva, adorned with his majestic serpent coils and a resplendent third eye, leaned closer to Ravana, his voice resonating with divine power. With a subtle yet commanding tone, Shiva inquired about the second boon Ravana sought. As the conversation between Lord Shiva and Ravana unfolded, the fragility of their moral fabric was laid bare, leaving a lingering sense of unease. The rich tapestry of this tale reveals the true nature of the people of Lanka and particularly Ravana. The very thought of Ravana, a mortal with immense ego and ambition, daring to ask for the hand of Goddess Parvati, illuminated the stark contrast between his insatiable hunger for power and the purity of devotion. It was a reflection of the twisted mentality and permeated the hearts of the people of Lanka, a testament to their ingratitude and apathy towards the benevolence and assistance bestowed upon them. In the face of Ravana's Odysseus' request, the irony of his own actions became painfully evident. He, the epitome of ungratefulness, had dared to approach the very deity he claimed to worship, asking for the most precious jewel in the divine realm. This paradox embodied the very essence of the people of Lanka, a society devoid of gratitude, a land where the scales of fairness were tipped towards their own insatiable desires. But the inhabitants of Kiskindha understood the true sense of gratitude, unlike the people of Lanka, who were wealthy but lacked the virtue. In Kiskindha, gratitude is not a fleeting emotion, but a deeply engraved value that is always present, even if momentarily forgotten. When someone receives a gift or favor, they are quick to express their gratitude. But this sentiment tends to fade over time. However, the people of Kiskindha always strive to remember and appreciate the kindness shown to them, no matter how small or insignificant it may be. Lord Ram, with his mighty strength, struck down Bali, the powerful king of Kiskindha, and bestowed the throne upon Sugriva. Grateful for his act of kindness, Sugriva pledged his loyalty to Ram and vowed to assist him in his quest to find his beloved Sita. However, Ram, wise and patient, knew that the rainy season known as Chaturmas had begun, bringing forth 4 months of relentless downpour. Understanding the importance of waiting for the rains to cease, Ram advised Sugriva to return to his palace and revel in his newfound success, while they would commence their search for Sita once the 4 months had passed. In those 4 long months, Ram endured an unbearable agony, his heart heavy with the weight of his loss. Each passing moment seemed to drag on endlessly, amplifying his yearning for Sita's return. The relentless rain mirrored his despair, soaking his spirit with sorrow. Time, as it often does in the face of profound grief, seemed to crawl at a sluggish pace, tormenting Ram with its sluggishness. Contrastingly, Sugriva's life was a whirlwind of joy and fulfillment. With his kingdom restored and his beloved wife by his side, he reveled in the pleasures of his newfound fortune. Days melted into nights and nights into days as time slipped through his grasp like fine grains of sand. The hours galloped by unnoticed, reminiscent of the swift passage of time during a captivating movie, where moments merge into one another, leaving the viewer oblivious to the hours that have slipped away. Sugriva, filled with joy and gratitude, nodded in agreement and retreated to his opulent palace, where he was greeted by his loving family and devoted citizens. He immersed himself in a whirlwind of festivities and celebrations, basking in the glory of his restored kingdom. Time seemed to slip through his fingers as the 4 months swiftly slipped away in a blur of merriment and indulgence. Meanwhile, Ram sought solace in the secluded depths of Mount Matang, finding shelter within the confines of a rugged cave. Thus, while Ram languished in a state of torment, counting the agonizing seconds, Sugriva's existence was marked by a rapid succession of fleeting moments, lost in the intoxication of his newfound happiness. It has been a long and agonizing period of 4 months for Lord Ram, and he has been patiently waiting Sugriva's arrival for the same duration. Restless and filled with anticipation, Ram turns to his loyal brother Lakshman and beseeches him to rouse Sugriv from his slumber. Lakshman, Evan, the protector, contemplates whether to restore to extreme measures and end Sugriv's life. Lakshman knows no middle ground. It is either an overwhelming love or a deadly threat. Ram quickly interjects, assuring his brother that he did not intend for Sugriv to meet his demise. Rather, he implores Lakshman to instill such a fear in Sugriva that he is compelled to seek refuge in Ram's presence, but not so much as to send him fleeing in the opposite direction. In a captivating scene, Lakshman, with an air of authority, confronts the and admonishes Sugriva, triggering a cascade of memories within him. This powerful encounter serves as a reminder to Sugriva about the immense gratitude he holds within him. It is not that he lacks appreciation, but rather humans tend to forget the blessings bestowed upon them. By gently nudging them to recollect, they are able to reconnect with their inner sense of gratitude and return to their rightful path. The potent emotion of fear plays a crucial role in the realm of devotion within spirituality. It is the kind of fear that compels us to seek solace in the divine, igniting a frequent pursuit towards God. However, this fear should not surpass a certain threshold where it drives us away from the very source of our devotion. In the epic of Ramayana, the city of Ayodhya is home to four extraordinary brothers. The bond between them is unparalleled, overflowing with an abundance of love and affection. Astonishingly, their relationship remains flawless, untouched by any form of disagreement or conflict, except for one significant incident. This incident is famously known as the Ram Bharat Mila, which took place in the enchanting land of Chitrakoot. During this event, the unbreakable bond between Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shastrughan was momentarily tested as a heated argument emerged between Ram and Bharat. The intensity of their conflict was tangible and the air crackled with tension. However, the cause of this dispute remains a mystery. What could have possibly triggered such a rift between these inseparable brothers? In Ayodhya, whenever disagreement arose, it was never a matter of determining who was right or wrong. Instead, their quarrels resolved around the intricate question of what is right versus what is more right. Such was the depth of their commitment to righteousness, and even the smallest deviation from the path of virtue could ignite a fiery debate among them. In the exotic land of Lanka, a peculiar harmony prevailed among its inhabitants, particularly within the bounds of brotherhood. Unbeknown to many, the tranquility stemmed from a strict code of conduct that forbade any form of verbal disagreement between siblings. The consequences of breaching this unspoken rule were severe, as the transgressor would be promptly banished from the sacred grounds of Lanka. Yet, as time carried on, a pressing issue began to gall at the minds of Ravana's royal ministers. Their voices trembled with concern as they dared to question their formidable king. Sita, the captive wife of their leader's nemesis, had languished within the confines of Lanka for a staggering 10 months. The ministers, perplexed by their leader's inaction, besieged Ravana for an explanation. Within this idyllic setting, the people of Lanka would gather in harshest reverence, eagerly observing the words that flowed from the mouth of their revered leader. Ravana, his authoritative presence commanded absolute respect, ensuring that harmony prevailed throughout the land. However, there was one disconcerting incident that shattered the tranquility. forever etching itself in the annals of Lanka's history. Within the rich tapestry of Lanka's history, these vivid details paint a picture of a land untouched by the ugliness of sibling discord, where the power of a single word held the weight of banishment. In the face of adversity, Ravana's curse posed an insurmountable obstacle, leaving him paralyzed by his own internal conflict. And so the fate of Sita remained uncertain as the people of Lanka pondered the delicate balance between duty, honor, and limits of their leader's power. Vibhishan, a brother of Ravana, dared to defy the unspoken decree and voiced his opinion on a matter of great importance. Without a moment's hesitation, Ravana's fury manifested itself in a swift and forceful kick. He physically kicked Vibhishan from their beloved homeland. In this moment of reckoning, the concept of right and wrong dissolved into insignificance, overshadowed by the sheer power of Ravana's wrath. Ravana attempted to justify his seemingly passive stance. He revealed a chilling secret, divulging a curse that had bound him in chains of restraint. The curse, a vile spectre, haunting his every move, forbade him from laying a hand on any woman without her explicit consent, lest he face certain death. Thus Ravana bemoaned his predicament, lamenting his inability to enjoy Sita. Let me enlighten you with another story, one filled with intrigue and danger. In this story, the mighty Ravana, the ruler of Lanka, came to learn of the formidable power possessed by Bali. Consumed by the fear that Bali might one day launch an assault on his kingdom, Ravana hatched a sinister plan to eliminate him. Knowing that a direct confrontation with Bali would result in the loss of half his own power, Ravana cunningly decided to strike from behind. With meticulous precision, he delved into the daily routines of Bali, carefully studied his every move. It was revealed that Bali, in his devotion, traversed the vast expanse of the four seas each day to perform the sacred Gayatri. Intrigued by his newfound knowledge, Ravana devised a scheme. He would seize the opportune moment when Bali, fully engrossed in his sacred duties, turned his gaze towards the endless horizon of the sea. Ravana would stealthily approach from behind, leap upon the unsuspecting Bali, and seize hold of his tail. With a swift and deadly motion, he would bring an end to Bali's life, thus eliminating the threat he posed to Lanka. Guided by the darkness of night, Ravana moved silently towards Bali's location, his heart raised with anticipation as he closed on his prey. The moment arrived, and with lightning reflexes, Ravana seized Bali's tail, hoping to swiftly execute his plan. However, fate had a different course in mind. Bali's tail, possessed of a mysterious power, began to twist and coil around Ravana's own body, trapping him into his relentless grip. Panic welled upon inside Ravana as his freedom slipped away, his body held captive within the confines of Bali's tail. Helpless and desperate, Ravana's pleas for release echoed through the air, carried by the weight of his imminent demise. After successfully completing his Gayatri, a sacred ritual, Bali returned home and sought out Ravana, his mind brimming with curiosity. With a mixture of desperation and sincerity, Ravana implored Bali, beseeching him for the most elusive and treasures of friendship. In an extraordinary turn of events, what was once an intention to kill transformed into a profound bond between the two men. As if sealing their newfound comradeship with an indomitable flame. Both Ravan and Bali encircled a blazing fire, engaging in a ceremonial circumambulance of loyalty and decision. With these circumambulance around the fire, they fervently vowed to embrace this profound connection. In an intense and heartfelt declaration, they decided, from this day forth, our lives intertwine as one. What is mine shall be yours, and what is yours shall be mine. Our kingdom shall merge. Our fortunes, our riches, our possessions shall be shared without hesitation. Even our most cherished partners, our wives, shall be bound by this sacred pact, for we are now brothers in arms. This extraordinary friendship forged between Bali and Ravana was destined to transcend time and hardship, a testament to their unwavering commitment to honor their pledge, no matter the cost. In the vibrant realm of Kiskindha, a bustling monkey kingdom, three types of monkeys thrive. The first type, known as Hanuman, embodied the epitome of perfection akin to the esteemed residents of Ayodhya. Every aspect of Hanuman being tilted flawlessness, captivating all who beheld his majestic presence. On the other hand, the second type of monkeys possessed an allure of reminiscent of the magnificent Bali and the grandeur of citizens of Lanka. Their striking appearance and regal demeanor commanded respect and admiration for all corners of Kiskindha. Nestled amidst these two extraordinary types of monkeys resided the third species led by the enigmatic Sugriv. Unlike their counterparts, these middle monkeys exhibited a perplexing duality, oscillating between virtuousness and wickedness with an unpredictable rhythm. At times, Sugriva and his followers displayed remarkable goodness, their actions mirroring the noblest of intentions. Yet, in the blink of an eye, their disposition would morph, revealing a darker side that left others bewildered. These middle monkeys, so similar to us, embodied the complexity of human nature, traversing the delicate line between righteousness and temptation. Their presence in Kiskindha served as a constant reminder that even amidst a realm of teeming with extraordinary beings, the allure of both light and darkness beckoned irresistible, leaving none immune of its mesmerizing pull. In the epic of Ramayana, the inhabitants of Kiskindha are referred to as Vanar, meaning monkey. But in a deeper sense, Vanar signifies a profound question. Are you truly human? Every living being must constantly introspect and ask ourselves this question. By observing our actions and behavior, we can determine whether we embody noble qualities of human beings like the revered Hanuman or destructive tendencies of Bali. Just as Charles Darwin theorized about our evolutionary origins of behavior can either align with our human nature or regress back to primal instincts. Therefore, we must continually reflect on our actions and strive to emulate the noble characteristics of human beings. When Sugriva first appeared before Ram, his transformation was nothing short of miraculous. With a mere shift in his appearance, it took on the guise of a man, believing that by looking the part, he could embody the essence of humanity. Little did he know that the true humanity transcends mere physical form. It is reflected in one's actions, words, and character. As the epic of Ramayana unfolds, it serves as a mirror to our own lives. Like the three monkeys, we must ask ourselves, are we on the path to righteousness like Ayodhya, consumed by greed and desire like those of Lanka, or lost in a state of indecision in between. Our journey through life must be guided by wisdom and purpose, leading us towards a destination that aligns with our true values and ideals. The dark contrast between the ancient epics of Ramayana and Mahabharata truly remarkable. Ramayana is a collection of stories that captivate the hearts of many, fills an air of majestic grandeur that seems beyond our reach. Its tales are woven with such intricacies and depth that they transport listeners to a realm of unparalleled elegance and nobility. It is as if the very essence of divinity has been infused into its every word and gesture. However, when we delve into the world of Mahabharata, we encounter a narrative that resonates deeply with our own lives. It is a story that mirrors the trials and tribulations we face for within its pages. Everyone is embroiled in constant conflict and turmoil, find themselves entangled in the web of human fallibility. Yudhishthira Maharaj, though hailed as a righteous ruler, is not exempt from making grave mistakes. In this epic, flawed characters and their complex thoughts and emotions come alive, allowing countless individuals to find solace and connection within its tale. While Ramayana guides us towards a lofty destination, showing us the path we should aspire to tread, Mahabharata plants us firmly in the present, revealing the reality of our existence. It confronts us with our own flaws and imperfections, reminding us that we are not alone in our struggles. Through its raw and relatable stories, it offers solace, understanding, and a sense of belonging to those who find it difficult to relate to the ethereal beauty of Ramayana. In a sense, Ramayana tells us where we should aim to go, while Mahabharata tells us where we currently stand. There is a belief among many that keeping the tales of Mahabharata within the confines of one's home invites discord and conflict. They caution against displaying images of scenes from the epic, fearing that it may bring about strife within the household. But can we truly escape conflict by simply avoiding the stories of Mahabharata? The reality is that discord exists in every home, regardless of the presence of these tales. The Mahabharata serves as a mirror, reflecting the inner struggles and conflicts within us. It is a reminder of the complex dynamics that exist within families and individuals. While we may strive for an idealized portrait of happiness and harmony, the truth of our lives is often far more complicated and nuanced. Our journey through life is like a transition from an epic battles of Mahabharata to the heroic adventures of Ramayana. Currently, we find ourselves amid the turmoil of Mahabharata, but there is a looming sense that we are slowly veering towards the darkness of Ravana. The purpose of life is to strive towards perfection by cultivating good qualities, devotion, and the association of like-minded individuals. By studying scriptures, listening to spiritual teaching, and following the ideals set forth in texts like Ramayana, Gita, and Mahabharata, we are reminded of the best way to live our lives. Just as in Ramayana, where characters are either on the side of righteousness or evil, we too must choose which path to follow. Our ultimate goal is to reach Ayodhya, symbolizing a state of spiritual fulfillment and contentment. So whether we find ourselves in a place of negativity like Lanka or virtue, Kiskindha, it is up to us to make the decision to move towards Ayodhya, the ultimate goal of spiritual growth and enlightenment. Hare Krishna.
K. community access. Radio every way you want it on planetaudio.org.nz.